Turn back to Matthew 13. We're looking through the book of Matthew, been teaching through, seemed like a long time, and probably because it's been a good while, but I sure don't want to go too fast and don't want to go too slow. So I guess we're in the chapter 13. It's a transitional chapter. The Lord has been offering the kingdom. He's been telling especially the Jews that he has come, that he is their Messiah, that if they will repent, that's the key, that they can have the forgiveness that he's offering. But the religious bunch is, in essence, repent of what? We're the kind that's always faithful, as we would say, faithful to church. We're the kind that fasts. We're the kind that keeps all the rules. What in the world do we have to repent of? We are the chosen. We are the chosen people. We are the Jews. And the one prerequisite, the one requirement, the one necessity for the kingdom to come, which was repent, they refused to do. So by chapter 13, the Lord is starting to say, okay, if you won't listen, I'll make it where you can't listen. Boy, we need to realize how important it is to listen to the Lord. He not only will stop speaking sometimes, but there'll be sometimes he speaks to others and we don't get it. And that's exactly what these parables are about. Parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And as we've said before, Jesus gave these parables to where his people, those who received him, could hear and understand. But those who did not receive and rejected him would say, What do you mean? I don't understand. He did that on purpose. We've looked at one parable. We're going to look at the second one tonight. Look in chapter 13, begin reading in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now this is the second parable that we find in the chapter, on chapter 13. And he once again is talking about farming. He's just dealt with the sower of the seed, the different soils. And now he gives another parable, and it's another parable about farming. Now I'll just sort of give you the general idea of what this parable says. In this parable, we're going to have a sower, and that sower is the Son of Man. He it is Jesus himself. He is sowing in the field, and he'll say in just a few minutes that that field is the world. He's sowing good seed, and we'll find out in just a second that good seed is the children of the kingdom, believers. There's an enemy that comes, and he is the devil. The enemy comes, and he sows also, but he sows tares or weeds. And those tares or weeds are children of the wicked one, children of the devil. Now remember, we're talking about those who profess to be saved. Vitally important, boy, if you get that, sure we'll clear up a lot of confusion about a lot of things in the book of Matthew and other books. When we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about those who profess to be saved. Now we all know everybody who professes to be saved isn't saved. And just about everybody you talk to now says, oh, sure, I'm saved. They may have a bottle of liquor in their hand, but they're saved. They may have not gone to church in 15 years, but man, they're saved. They profess, but there are some who faithful in church, very religious, like the Pharisees, like the Jews for the most part, and they profess, but they do not possess. And Jesus gives a parable, and he talks again about the kingdom of heaven. And he says, it's likened unto a man sowing good seed in a field. Again, a farming parable. And he's talking about, now listen, he is talking about the condition of our day. The kingdom of heaven deals with when Jesus came the first time, all the way really through the end of the tribulation period, and even into the millennium. So we are seeing what we're seeing. You understand that? We are seeing in this parable what we're seeing in this world. It is describing our day. Many who make professions, but they do not experience the real thing. Now Jesus will describe or will give or state this parable in these first few verses. Later on, the disciples will come and say, will you explain that to us? And he'll explain it to us, and we're going to try and drop down and get that. But to begin with, he's giving a parable, and it's likening the kingdom of heaven to our day. It's likening to a man who sows good seed in the field. So far, that's all we know. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, he'll explain this in verses 37 through 39. We'll look at that in just a minute. But right now, what we know is there is a sower, a man who goes in his field and sows good seed. And there's another man, an enemy, while the men are sleeping, while the laborers are asleep, an enemy comes and sows tares among the wheat. Now, that wasn't uncommon in that day. Tares were, and still are, like weeds. And it was not uncommon for if one farmer got mad at another farmer, one of the best ways he could ruin his enemy's farm was to go and sow tares. I mean, you got to think, figure, they're not just growing a little garden on the side to kind of fill in where what they don't get from McDonald's or Food Lion. Their crops mean their lives. Their crops is what provides food for the table and money for the whole year. And if you want to really hurt your neighbor, if you're really mad at him, one of the best ways you can get to him, one of the ways you can destroy him is going and sowing tares into his field. It's very common. In fact, the Romans had a law that dealt with that type of situation. And if you were called, you had to pay for it. Now, the tares is probably what's called a darnail. It's simply a weed that looks like wheat. Yeah. But it's poisonous and it's useless. Wheat has value. Wheat brings life. Wheat produces money. Wheat helps somebody who's growing, but that darnail, that weed, it not only does not provide good, it causes bad. So an enemy comes and sows the weed, sows the tares in the wheat field of his enemy. And the bad thing about it is the darnail or the tares, as they're growing up to begin with, they look just like wheat. You cannot tell the difference until the head starts to develop, until the fruit starts to come out. Then and only then can you tell the difference. So here's something that's devastating. Look in verse 26. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. When it got big enough to where you could tell the difference, you could look through the field. And not just was there a field full of wheat, but there was a field full of tares. What about if your garden was full of weeds? I mean, not just a couple of here and there, but if it was full of weeds and full of grass, what hope would the harvest have? And that's exactly what we're seeing here. When it begins to develop enough to where they can tell the difference, not only does the wheat show up, but also does the darnail of the tares. Look at verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? The servants are shocked. Now, had there been just one or two tares, they wouldn't have been surprised because that's normal. You're going to have one or two weeds. The best you can do in sifting out your seed and getting rid of all the any weeds, seeds of weeds, you're going to have one or two weeds that's going to spring up. But it's not one or two. The entire field is more or less full of darnail or tares. So the servants are shocked, and they come to the owner of the field and says, didn't you plant good seed? Do you know what that's saying? They understand their owner. They understand the boss. They know he's a good man who's going to sow good seed. And when they see in his field something other than good seed, they're surprised. That tells us that we ought to know our Lord, because He is a good God. He's a good Lord. And he doesn't do, hey, those tares throughout that field are contrary to that owner. He has never done that before. And they know he generally wouldn't do it. So they come and say, what's going on? What's happened? You see, they know the owner. And so it ought to be with us. We ought to know that God will not violate his nature. He will not violate his word. He will not go against his will. Here's these servants. They know the owner, and they know he has a good heart. He wants to sow good seed because he wants a good harvest. And they look at the wheat field, and it's full of tares, and they think, that's not like him. And it wasn't. It's contrary to his nature. Look in verse 28. And he said unto them, an enemy have done this. The owner knew what happened, by the way. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And I can understand that. Weeds are out there. Weeds are hindering the harvest. Weeds are stealing nutrients from wheat. The harvest is being hindered. I think too, let's go get out the tares. Let's go dig them out and let the wheat grow unhindered. That's what they suggest. Humanly speaking, that makes sense. They suggest that they remove the tares. The first response was, let's get rid of the tares so the wheat can grow without hindrance. Verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And I sure understand that. You ever tried to pull out a weed and pull up the plant with it? That's what he's saying here. But more than that, he is saying these two things are so similar. You may reach down and think you got a tear, and you pull it up and you realize it was wheat. They are so similar, you can't tell the difference right now. So he says, no. If you try and take them out now, you're going to mess. You're going to make more trouble than if you leave them alone. Here's what he's saying. You can't tell what's real and what isn't. You know what? We can't. Somebody who says, I'm saved, I don't know their heart. Now, I can watch them, but there's a whole lot of religious people who act right and talk right, but their heart isn't right. And I can't say, you're lost, you're saved, you're lost, you're lost, you're saved. I don't know people's heart. We don't know who's real and who isn't. But the Lord does, and he'll straighten it out before long. Look in verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And then in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the first of tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He said, just leave them alone. Let them grow together. There'll come a time I'll straighten it out. There'll come a time at harvest, I'll send my reapers, and they'll give her the tares in one bundle, and they'll give her the real wheat in another bundle, and we'll get it all worked out. He said the tares will be burnt, and the wheat will be barned. He'll put them in my barn, he says. By that time, by the time the wheat and the tares grow up together to full fruition, to full development, you can easily say that's a tear, that's wheat, because the heads are so different, the fruit is so different. But he says, wait until then. The workers could go in and make a mess, but he said, don't leave them alone. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing God's mercy, because those tares deserve to be plucked up and burned up. But the owner said, not now. You let them grow together. And when the time is right, we'll handle the harvest. You do know that's the way the world is right now. There's a lot of people who profess to be saved. There's a lot of people just lost as a goose, don't even make profession to be saved. They ought to thank us Christians for being alive. because we're protecting them right now. It's like Sodom. Had there just been 10 righteous, God would have spared it. We are salt, and salt preserves. We are right now. One of the reasons why God has not judged already is because of His people. There's still some wheat in the field. And He will not judge the tare because the wheat hasn't developed all the way. The time of the harvest hasn't come. So I just want to say to the lost world, you ought to say thank you, Rick, for still being alive. But God's mercy is shown. And He explains this. Jump on down to verse 39. He now is, the multitudes are gone. Let's just read it. Then Jesus said to the multitude, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto Him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now get this. I said already, these parables are to divide. Lost people don't get it at all. And saved people do. But even then the disciple says, could you explain that to us? You know what that tells us? We still need the Holy Spirit. We still need the Holy Spirit to open up the Word of God. Boy, I tell people all the time, read the Word. What you don't understand, don't worry about it. What you need to understand, God will show you. And that's what He's saying here. He sent the multitude away. He went into His house, or a house. The disciples come and ask Him, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Tell us what you're talking about. Remember, He did not explain it until the multitudes were gone. Only saved people heard this. Well, I want to tell you something. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit ever speaks to you, you sure better listen. Boy, if he has mercy on you, and in His kindness and in His tenderness and mercy ever speaks to you, do not take it lightly. Do not shun Him, because the time may come like we find here. He'll stop talking. He'll say it. He'll say this. If you don't listen when you can hear, I'll make it where you can't hear. And that's what we find here. The disciples asked Jesus to explain. Look in verse 37. And He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 24, He said, there's a man who's sowing. And that's all He said. Here He tells us who it was that sowed. He says, it is the Son of Man. Well, who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the one who's sowing. He's the one who sends the Holy Spirit. He's the one who touches hearts. I can't, you can't, we may be servants, but we're not the Son of Man. He's the one who touches heart. Notice, the sower went into His field. You do know God owns it all, right? This world, this universe, everything that is His. Psalmist said it like this, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Somebody else said He owns the hills and the tater in the hills. I agree with that. He owns it all. It was His field. It belongs to Him. I want to say here real quickly, we need to notice that parables are different. The seed in the first parable dealt with the Word of God. Seed here deals with people. Lost people or saved people. So we can't say, we just have to know parables are different. That's simple enough, I guess. Verse 38, He's still explaining, the field is the world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, so far, He said a sower went to sow seed in the field, and he sowed good seed, and somebody else came and sowed bad seed. Now He's telling us not only who sowed the seed, but what it is. He said the seed is, the good seed is the children of the kingdom. And the bad seed, or the tares, are the children of the wicked one. Remember, there's only two types of children. The children of the good, children of the kingdom, or the children of the tares, the children of the wicked one. And that's still true today. You either are saved or you're lost. There's no in between. It's like, and excuse me if you disagree, but you either are a man or a woman. Now that's kind of fuzzy. Not with God, not with me. You either are lost or you are saved. There's no in between. That's what he's saying here. There's either the children of the kingdom or children of the wicked one. Now, he said that the field is the world. Remember what he said? Don't pluck it up now. Let it grow together. And some people say that means you're not supposed to have church discipline. And some people say, how in the world they do it. This parable is talking about the church, and if there's sin in the church, you're supposed to just leave it alone, let God take care of it. Well, sometimes you are. But this parable is not talking about the church. It very clearly says the field is the world. That's out there. There are times church discipline is needed and demanded and required. This parable is not talking about the church. It's talking about the world, lost people outside the world. So he's back in verse 28, the worker said, let's just go and pull them out. He's going to deal with that now. The first, hey, he's saying good seed has been sown, that's the children of the kingdom. Bad seed has been sown, that's the children of the wicked one. Saved and lost, living together. And the first recommendation is get rid of the tares. But he said no. And you know what? We kind of dream of that as saved people. I wish I lived in a world where there was no sin. I wish I lived in a world where I didn't have to deal with those sinners at work. I wish I had a world where there were no sin, no sinners, no problem. We'd dream about that. But God says, that's not what I want. I sowed you there, right in the middle of the field, because you needed to be there. And by the way, the devil sowed tares where he sowed them to try and hinder the harvest. Have you ever thought of that person at work that drives you crazy? The devil may have put them there. You probably have. The devil may have placed it. It may be in your family, maybe in your neighborhood. The devil put them there to try and hinder you, try to irritate you. And we as God's children need to not let that happen. But not only did the evil man sow evil seed, but the good man sowed good seed. God puts you where he puts you because he wanted you to be a good influence. They're at your job, they're at your school, they're in your neighborhood, they're in your family. Look at verse 39. The enemy that sowed them was the devil. He just gets right down to the point now. And the harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. He's still explaining. He said, the one that sowed the enemy, that's the devil. Well, I'm sort of guessing by that by now, but he makes it clear. And the harvest is the end of the world. He says, let them grow to a harvest. He said, that's the end of the world. Now, it's talking about the end of the age. It's talking about when things, according to the kingdom, consummate. He said, there's coming a time when the owner is going to straighten it out. That time is coming. That time is sure. And it says the reapers are the angels. Now, what's happened is the devil has sowed false professors into the field or even lost people in the field to try and hinder. But the Father said, you let it grow. I'll handle it. It says in verse 25, the laborers were sleeping. Well, that's not really wrong because if they worked all day, they deserve sleep. But it does tell us a little bit about the sleepiness of our air, of our day, the spiritual slumber that's so prevalent today. People asleep aren't bothered by tragedy. An earthquake across the world doesn't bother a person asleep. They don't know about it. They don't care. A lost person next door doesn't bother somebody that's asleep. And even though these people are sleeping are not really speaking of wrong, it does speak of a slumberness of our day. Boy, we need to ask God to wake us up and help us to see. Look in verse 40. As therefore the tares gathered and burned, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son of the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All that being said, he said, there's coming a time when I'm coming. We can read about that in Matthew 24. Let me read just a couple of verses here. Let me figure out where I need to start. Look in verse, if you want to turn to verse 27. Matthew 24. And as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He's coming. The sower's coming. It's harvest time. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, the angels of the reapers. And they shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect out of the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Then learn the parable. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Notice, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that the end is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That day and hour knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but your Father only. And it goes on to talking about not the rapture, but the second coming. He's talking about a kingdom. Everything we talked about tonight in Matthew 13 is talking about the kingdom. And he says to the Jews, you wouldn't listen. So I'm setting you aside, but I haven't forgotten. There's coming a time. I will come back, and my angels will come with me, and they're going to bundle up the tares, and they'll be cast into hell. And they'll gather my elect, they'll gather my children, they'll gather my people, and I'm going to set up a kingdom. The kingdom's still coming. It's just been postponed. And that's what this parable is talking about. But now here's what he's saying. It ends with, he that hath an ear, let him hear. What in the world does that mean? It means I am either right now genuine wheat or I'm a tare. I'm either really saved or I'm really lost. And I don't know when harvest is coming. For us, the rapture is the next step. It could happen any time. Death could come at any time. And he's having mercy on those that are lost, giving them time to wake up. I want to ask you this evening, do you know for sure you're saved? That Bible I just read said one day those that are lost will be bundled in bundles and cast into the lake of fire and stay there forever, burning in agony. And you don't have to go. Jesus Christ came and died for you that you could be saved and escape hell and go to heaven. And if you hear him speaking at all tonight, he said, if you have an ear to hear, hear. If he's speaking, listen. Because next time he may not speak. And if he doesn't speak, you can't be saved. Neither could I. Let's stand together.